thought of narcotic sales in Skid Row, it strikes me as nearly impossible to get clean. The expression I hear is that the wolves are not only at the door, they're in the living room, said Captain Andy Smith, who commands the Central Division downtown. Well, Captain Andy, let me tell you something. All those services for the elderly, for the disabled vet, for the homeless, we got a safe haven, a woman's center. We're placed here by somebody. Skid Row didn't just happen by chance.
That's an excerpt from Utopia Dystopia, performed by the Los Angeles Poverty Department, or the LAPD. Does Skid Row have a culture? Artist John Malpied thought so, and the LAPD has proven it. The LAPD is a theater group made up of people who live and work on Skid Row. Most of its membership have been homeless at one time or another. Founded by performance artist and director John Malpied in 1985, the LAPD uses theater and performance art to give a platform to the voices of the people of Skid Row. At the LAPD, people create art, often collectively, about their challenges, concerns, and accomplishments. For example, the piece we heard at the top of the show, Utopia Dystopia, addresses some of the bedrock concerns of the residents of Skid Row. John Malpied explains.
Right before the real estate bust, we did a show called Utopia Dystopia, which was again, looking at whether you could create the new 21st century city, that is Los Angeles, on the backs of some people being on the short end of the stick. So it was called Utopia Dystopia. I mean, in making the show, we did a bunch of education events that brought really diverse people together to talk in a non-direct setting so that it was less contentious than usual, but everyone from police detectives and developers to housing activists and street musicians.
While Skid Row is often a generic term for a part of town that's down on its luck or where homeless people tend to congregate, in Los Angeles, Skid Row is an actual designated 52-block area. John Malpied.
It's a special area because in the mid-70s, the mayor and the redevelopment agency decided to save the SRO housing in this one area near what had been the train station. So they zoned a 50-square-block area to save the housing in that area and then ultimately to move other services into that area. So it's created a situation where a permanent community could evolve and thrive, actually. So for every person on the street or in a transitional situation, really two-thirds of the population are basically permanent residents of the neighborhood.
John Malpied began his career as a New York City performance artist, which is quite a leap from organizing theater projects with homeless people on the other side of the country.
I think the winter going into 1984 was when I first started seeing like scads of people sleeping on the street in downtown New York where I was living. So I decided to put two and two together and do something about homelessness. And then I happened to be in L.A., and it turned out L.A. was the so-called homeless capital of the world. And also there was a lot of political activity going on around homelessness at that time. There was a lawsuit coupled with community agitation around a habitability case. So there were people testifying about that. And I happened to go down to the hearing. And then I met all these homeless people who had been organized and some of the lawyers that were connected with them and some folks from the Catholic Worker and all that. And then I started volunteering with them. And as a result, I was able to write a performance that I did in New York that was both fairly hallucinated but extremely accurate about what was going on. I just found it very compelling what these guys were doing. I thought the sort of the multi-pronged level of their political tactics, and also just in terms of my own satisfaction as a human being, because like when you make art, a lot of times it's good for you, but you don't know if it's good for anybody else. So I just found that suddenly I was interacting with a much bigger world of lawyers, homeless people, city councilmen, members of the police department, blah, blah, blah. It was just like really cool. And I really liked being able to insert myself in the real world to such a great extent. I started volunteering for these guys as I was writing my piece. So my job was to run around every welfare office in LA County and see if what people were getting, if they were getting what the law demanded, required and all that. And if not, to report back to the lawyers, plus, help that individual.
John wrote a grant and got funding from the California Arts Council to begin theater workshops on Skid Row. The question was, would anyone come?
I was very skeptical as to whether anyone would show up. A lot of people showed up. It was a big surprise. But I mean, I think the one crucial thing, of course, was that I was embedded in this community that had of people working in the community that had the trust of the community. So, you know, those guys taught me how to behave, number one. And I really was able to build on all that goodwill that those guys had. And I really did things very incrementally, trying to suss out, you know, where people are at and just sort of work the place where we could all intersect. Like I said, I myself have spent a lot of time in the welfare office and a lot of frustrating time. A lot of other people had done that too. So sometimes we would play out those kind of scenarios using the hidden voice of the welfare worker, the hidden voice of the client. So it would get pretty ribald and funny.
Skid Row, Los Angeles is the poorest area in the city, with the largest concentration of homeless people of any neighborhood in the United States. Yet John Malpede believed that people in distress could use theater to create community.
I came in there assuming that everybody was creative, and that especially when you come from something like performance art, you know about different kinds of leading edge practice and stuff like that. You know that so much of it is very quirky stuff. Well, quirkiness isn't limited to people who went to art school. And so I always was convinced that people would have, as interesting things to say to anybody else if they had the opportunity to say them. And what happened at the beginning of LAPD really was a lot of people showed up with the screenplay that no one had ever read, the novel nobody had ever read, the 12 rap songs no one had ever listened to. And so for a while, everybody wanted to give a reading at the same time of their thing. And out of that, in a way, is why we developed a very collaborative way of working, so that we didn't devote large amounts of time to doing X person's project that was already realized, but rather together we made a project. I was really trying to take account of everybody's, create a situation where everybody could contribute and allow everyone to have their own voice. We're not really interested in having, you know, only polished performers. We're really interested in creating a texture that has everybody being who they are, where they're at. And that is a lot more interesting for us.
It was and is a successful philosophy. Over the last 30 years, LAPD has created many works of theater, music, and visual art produced by and for the residents of Skid Row. One of the most acclaimed is State of Incarceration.
State of Incarceration, I think many people are aware that we in the U.S. have the highest incarceration rate on the planet. And this has all happened in the last 30 years. It's exponentially jumped up the percentage of the population that's incarcerated. And California has the biggest penal system in the country, and it's been overcrowded for many, many years. And the suit about that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, you know, and they found about 3 years ago that the health conditions and mental health conditions constituted cruel and unusual punishment, and they ordered them to reduce the prison population. It happens that one-third of the people getting out of state prisons in California who come to L.A. end up living in Skid Row, because that's where the reentry programs are, that's where the housing is, et cetera, et cetera. So in the middle of that, around 2009, 2010, we decided we would do a project about this. Word got out, and a ton of people flooded in with a really urgent need to engage with this subject. It was really like there weren't enough opportunities to do that, or any. We really wanted to focus on how to do time, how to survive, how to transform you in spite of the deleterious consequences of being in the criminal justice system, you know.
30 days in a hole. My God. What am I going to do? What would I do? Four walls. One toilet. Zero. Everything else. No TV. No books, nobody to talk to, no nothing. Just me, four walls, a toilet, and a hole.
Oh, we also had from the very beginning an idea that we would just get a bunch of prison bunk beds and we would install in the space that we did the show in completely with prison bunk beds. And then the whole show happens within that, so that the audience helps us create the overcrowded circumstance by being on the beds along with the cast. So that's how we ultimately realized the project. First, we did it at a couple of reentry programs which was really fantastic. We did that a lot when we were building the piece. So we've continued to do that show both, you know, in galleries, in theaters, in community centers.
The audience and the cast confined to a small set, all seated on bunk beds. That's typical for the LAPD, which is committed to crashing down boundaries that exist between us and them, whether it's audience and performers or the housed and the homeless. While the LAPD focuses on systemic issues that affect the residents of Skid Row, it's strongly committed to acknowledging the accomplishments of the neighborhood, which brings us to the recent Walk the Talk.
Walk the Talk was a project about the history of Skid Row, and I said, let's put up plaques of people who had been instrumental in creating community there, whether they be people who live there or work there, whether they be artists, activists, people who started sort of visionary social institutions or whatever, and let's put them at the spots associated with those people. So if somebody started the Los Angeles Mission on Los Angeles Street, let's put one there. Then the other component was we're going to do a performance, do a parade that went from spot to spot, and then create scenes about each one of these people that would be done on that spot. So the whole thing would be to excavate the history of people who have made community on Skid Row and instantiate that it is a vibrant community and really one that's provided a lot of visionary solutions to different kinds of seemingly intractable problems and is a resource for all of Southern California. So we started out to do that, and we were able to go ahead and we had the portraits manufactured and we made the scenes. Then we got a brass band, a New Orleans-style brass band, and we had 3 days of parade in 2012 that went to all these different spots, 36 scenes, and told these stories.
At some point, it spilled over. It spilled over into 1983. I saw the first bodies lying on the street.
Little by little, people began talking about it, writing about homelessness as a social issue. Nonprofit organizations came together to try to do these barrack-type shelters, they thought.
If we just do shelters, they'll go away.
It took a long time for the powers that be to realize.
Some of them still don't realize
that homelessness ends when people can afford their housing. It's not a disease.
And then it was such a fabulous thing, we decided, okay, we're going to do it every other year. So, as you know, we just did it the weekend of Memorial Day.
In the past 3 decades, the Los Angeles Poverty Department has received many accolades and awards. And in fact, it's been invited to create residencies in cities throughout the United States, as well as in Europe and South America. But most significantly, it has seen and participated in many of the accomplishments of Skid Row's residents. Had John Malpied ever imagined the LAPD would accomplish this much?
I usually say it's a harebrained idea that wouldn't die, you know. It's totally, totally surprising. Some of it has just been sheer willpower, you know, because it's not like we've always been, like, sitting on a big feather bed of cash. Quite the contrary, you know. I mean, what's interesting about Skid Row is, as I've seen it develop, you know, is that the community still keeps getting richer. Right now, there are a number of local groups composed of residents that are advocating for various different kinds of things on behalf of the neighborhood. You know, it's not just like one group or something. It's like many, many, many voices. So we're trying to capture some of those things. There's so many levels on which it's a very rewarding thing to do. Sometimes when you're doing art, you really don't know whether anybody is interested, even yourself. But with LAPD, it's such a pleasure to make work with all the people and the sense of community that we've created together. And, you know, there's never a moment when you doubt that there's something valuable going on.